Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Hey there, Amy. Well, yesterday we saw some of the harder things in Romans about predestination, things that are really hard for us to wrap our minds about. And today, we almost get a breath of fresh air that Paul shares with us. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open. We're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul closes his teaching about the believer's security in Christ with these questions and answers, addressing the concerns his readers might still have. The result is an almost poetic expression of praise for God's grace in bringing salvation to completion for all who are chosen and believe. In the Greek, the word if in verse 31 is actually since. So, since God is for us, choosing us, calling us, justifying us and glorifying us, who can stand against us? They may try. Indeed, they may inflict pain upon us. But can they win? No, absolutely not. Since our God didn't even spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, of course he will graciously give us all things. Keep in mind, this isn't an excuse to go and buy a car or a house or insist that God has failed you if he hasn't given you your heart's desire. The all things referred to goes right in line with what we were just talking about. God will finish the good work he has begun in us. Paul's point is that God will not do less for his children than he has done for his enemies. He is faithful to choose us and call us, justifying us and glorifying us in the last days. In the meantime, he is faithful to work all things together for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. Even if it is things that we might not want, we can trust that, even in the promised sufferings that we will endure, that he is working it all to his purpose, and it is for our good as much as for his glory. God's love is demonstrated actively for us. It isn't merely an emotion, but is evident in his gracious action on our behalf. And now we enter the divine courtroom. God being for us means that the verdict he has already given in justification stands. We are promised the ultimate victory. No one can bring a charge against his elect if we are justified by him. Charges may be brought against us by our enemies, our own consciences, or even from Satan. But Christ did not condemn us, but was condemned for us. And he is now our advocate, our attorney, if you will, interceding for us at God's right hand. Condemnation, as used here, is the act of declaring one guilty and then sentencing them to punishment. We who are in Christ Jesus can never be condemned because he has already been condemned for our sakes. No one can successfully accuse someone whom God has already declared righteous. Christ continues to intercede for us on the basis of his shed blood at the right hand of God. Again, this intercession idea gives us the image of a courtroom where Christ is pleading our case for us to God, the judge. Paul then quotes Psalm 44:22 here. Yet for your sake we are killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. All throughout Scripture we see that God's prophets were like sheep to be slaughtered. Their persecutors were often brutal, but they are described as sheep, humble, and patient in their sufferings, even to death. Knowing that these past saints and prophets were led to the slaughter for their obedience to God, we who have the gospel, the Messiah, the knowledge and promise of salvation, should all the more cheerfully and with humility be willing to suffer for his will. Suffering is not a surprise to the Christian. It isn't a new thing that God would permit his saints to undeservedly experience the wickedness that's in this wicked world. But we are more than conquerors in this life, not because of our own amazingness, but through him who loves us and has saved us. He has conquered it all, as the list in verses 38 and 39 show us. Paul begins this list with death. Death does not win anymore. Because of Christ and his sacrifice, we have the hope of eternal life with him. So he has made us more than conquerors over death. Death isn't just defeated, it's erased. Nothing can separate us from him. Nothing. Not death, nor life. Not angels, nor demons. No power is more powerful than he is. They are all under his sovereignty, and he continues to work all things to his good and his glory. Not the present sufferings or joys, nor the future trials or joys can separate us from his love if we are truly his children. Not any powers, not any height, not any depth, physical or not, can separate us from the love of God that we have in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Did you notice that this list covers pretty much everything? It covers the spirit world, the physical world, time, and space. And this list, by the way, is not just theory to Paul. This was personal testimony from Paul, who had survived assaults and attacks, and even stoning. Through all of this, keep in mind that we will still have trials. We will be pressed down, but not defeated. All the trials and sufferings we are facing will be for our own perfecting and for his glory. But knowing that those trials will not overwhelm us is an amazing promise from our Savior. At the end, we will be able to stand before our Father and be justified by his Son's blood, shed for us, and our reward is waiting for us. We must continue to persevere, to persist in his plan, even when it's hard, even when trials come and we do suffer. Again, suffering is not a surprise to the Christian, any more than it was a surprise to the Old Testament prophets. We have to trust that he is faithful to his promises, and he has made us more than conquerors. Even when we can't see the sun behind the clouds, that doesn't mean the sun isn't there. And he is always there. And this war, it's already won. We're just still in the midst of the skirmishes. So, are you living today knowing that you are more than a conqueror through him who is within you? Or are you living today as if it all depends on you to win the war? Are you living knowing that no matter what happens, even if you are led as a sheep to the slaughter, that it is worth it because the victory is already his? If we truly believe that we are more than conquerors, that the war is won, and the battles must be fought for our perfecting and for his glory, our perspective should change immeasurably. Where is our joy? Where is our peace? If we truly know that he is our strength, that he is our joy, if we truly have an eternal perspective, then we can face anything, knowing it is for our good, for his glory. After all, if he is there for us, who can stand against us?
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.